Blog Talk Radio. Your host Keturah. We will continue from where we left off on last week, looking at the seven churches in the book of Revelations. We covered the church of Laodicea, Smyrna, Ephesus. I'm sorry, we did not cover the church of Laodicea. That's next week. We covered the church of Thyatira and the church of Patmos. And so today we will pick up with the church of Sardis. And if you remember, I told you in the study of this lesson, we want to always look for how the message is relevant to us today in the 21st century. So be mindful of that as we read through these seven chapters or so on the seven churches. And so looking at the Book of Revelations in chapter 3, the church of Sardis. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, and that you have a name, and that you live and are dead. Now, I'm going to come back to this verse and build my argument there. But before I do anything further, I want to read in context the entire letter. And so in verse 2, he says, be watchful and strengthen the thing which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. And if therefore you shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I come upon you on. In verse 4 he says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Verse 5, he that overcome, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Glory be to God. I could take off and preach just on that verse right there. In verse 6, he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And so there are a lot of conditions here in this chapter and prerequisites required to receiving the reward for your faith. And so we want to go back up and look at verse 1, like I said that I would do, because there were some things I wanted to bring out. In the first clause, he said, these things write unto him that hath the seven spirits of God. And I wanted to know, Lord, you know, give me the seven spirits. What are they? And you can read about the seven spirits of God in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11 and verse 2. But I submit to you, for time's sake, I'm going to read them off in a row. They are the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And if you are going to be an overcomer, you will need to embrace and practice the seven spirits of God. We need wisdom to pull out of any state of death or lackadaisia, slothfulness, empathy in our mindset. It takes the wisdom of God to pull you out of that. If you are in a dying or dead state, you need counsel. It takes the wisdom of, it takes the spirit of counsel that we read about in Isaiah chapter 11 to help you to navigate yourself out of a dead situation. If you're dead and dying, as these people were, you need understanding. And the Bible says, in all of your getting, get understanding. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but when I finally have that aha moment, when finally the light dawns on me and an understanding comes, I am strengthened, I'm empowered, and the struggle leaves my presence. And now you also need the spirit of might. If you are in a dead work or dead situation, or you're weak and you're dying, you need to feel the spirit of might. I pray always in the Ephesians prayer to my God, strengthen me with might on the inner man by the Holy Spirit. Might comes from the spirit. You need knowledge. If you're dead, drying up, and dying on a limb, you need the knowledge of God flowing in and through you. That will come by grabbing hold to the word of God. It will come by praying in the spirit and receiving the deep things of God, the revelations of God. And then you need the fear of the Lord. That comes from the spirit. That's a reverential fear, not a fear of dread or that you're going to be judged or beat down in some kind of way, but a reverential fear, a fear of awe of him, a respect to revere him as God and Lord of your life, to revere him enough to put him first, to inquire of him first, to get his opinion first, to not be presumptuous in your ways. And so those are the seven spirits of the Lord. Now, that will help you if you find yourself in the situation like these people were discovered to be in the church of Sardis. In verse 2, he said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. This is why I read to you the seven spirits. If your death is trying to enter you in any form, through the physical or through the spiritual or through the mental, you need the wisdom of God to strengthen you in that area, or you need the counsel. Maybe you might need consultation. You know, the Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. And I call these seven spirits of God my bucket list, my wish list, my goal setter. It's good to have spiritual goals for yourself. Why? Because goals will keep you alive. Goals will give you meaning for life and for living. Goals give you something to get up for in the morning. And so embrace these seven spirits and attributes that are promised to us as believers and make them our goal so that we can do what the Bible says here in Revelations chapter 3 and 2, that we can be watchful, and that we can have strength, and we can strengthen what's left that's ready to die. You know the areas that have fallen weak in you that are about ready to die, the zeal towards God, the goodwill that you may have had towards God, Bible studying, going to church, doing the churchy things, those things be ready to die. He says, strengthen them. And you have to be humble to do that. And the acknowledgement of areas that are weak takes humility. And I'm not saying you have to stand up with a bullhorn and announce to the world everything that's weak and dying on the inside of you, but you can just sit down and examine yourself like the Bible says to do. Socrates says, know thyself. It's helpful in the area of disarming the strategies of Satan and his effort to work against you and to take you down. And so the word says, God said in the second clause of verse 2, he said, I have not found your works perfect before God. And so he says unto them in verse 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard. So he wants these people to get back to their first works. He wanting them to remember how they used to hear. You know how it was when you first got saved. You were attentive, you were zealous, you were eager beavers, and also ready and cooperative in your spirit. You were open, you were pliable, and God's spirit could just go right in, and you would grab it and run with it. And so he is saying, get back to that. Get back like that, receiving the word and hearing like that. He said, and then hold fast and repent. So, you know, when you renew yourself, when you have a revival in your soul, hold fast, people, and move forward. Hold fast and repent of anything that you know you may have allowed to operate in your life that may cause weakness. The Bible said the spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the spirit. And so if you allow certain things of the flesh to function and live in you, and you know that you know this does not please God, hey, repent and then hold fast to your commitment, that turn that you just may. Repent means to turn and go in the opposite direction. And we're going to find out why. In verse 3, he said, remember, therefore, how you have heard and repent. In the next clause, he said, if therefore you shall not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. So the critical word here is watch. And the Bible tells us that we are to watch and pray, and we are to watch for others. It says in the book of Ephesians that when you praying in the spirit, watching thereunto for all saints. So it's a requirement for us to be watchful so that we are not taken at unawares or caught off guard by any means. And in verse 4, he said, you have a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And, you know, they had a reputation, and apparently there were a few people who remained pure, and they were being rewarded for their faith through the gift of a white garment. He says in verse 5, he that overcome, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. People, you see here, it says he will not blot out your name. That means you can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. And if you allow sin to continue, the name, your name can be blotted out if it applies to you, what I am sharing with you here today in your reading. And so I just wanted to bring that out. And so we went over the importance of holding fast. We noted to be watchful and to arouse yourself and keep awake It's time to wake up and to be alert, because we are seeing the signs of the time are unfolding right in front of us. And we noted that it was important to strengthen, to take hold of the thing that remain and are ready to die in your life or in your spirit. You strengthen yourself through prayer. According to Jude 20, praying in the Holy Ghost, you build up your most holy faith, and the Holy Ghost will strengthen you if you ask him, if you cry out. And then we are to remember, reflect back on the promises of God and what you have received and heard of him in times past. And we went over rehearsing how you have heard, getting back to the first works of the way you used to hear when it comes to the things of God. You didn't reason away. You received it as newborn babes. And then we've been instructed to hold fast. Hold fast to your faith, people, so that you can enjoy the reward. And then he told us to repent, so that we can be ready when Christ would return. And I went over the spirits, the seven spirits of the churches. I felt that that was important, because if we are to accomplish those items that I just itemized for you, overcoming and restoring our souls, etc., it will take the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And those are the seven spirits that you need to be victorious in your goals to live an overcoming lifestyle, so that you can receive the reward for your faith mentioned here in chapter 3 to the Church of Sardis, to be given that white garment and to be able to walk with God in white. Glory be to God. It's worth overcoming just to have that experience. Glory to God. There's nothing in hell that I want. There's nothing on this earth worth compromising the opportunity to have a white garment and to be able to walk and wear white with God. Glory to God. And so that's why I said to you, have spiritual goals. And I just listed them to you. You can listen to this broadcast again in your own time. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/inspirational-corner-online. And please share this message with anyone that you know who might benefit and receive with the correct type of hearing, or who needs to repent and get back to their first works. Also, visit the website at www.inspirationalcorneronline.com, and there you can click the Blog Talk tab and listen to these messages again. Please share them and email them, post them on your Facebook, and just invite others to be strengthened and to overcome over themselves. Also, watch the television program while you're there on the website. You can share that link also with those whom you know might enjoy watching broadcast that you may have missed. Well, it's time to go. I thank you for yours. Remember 1 Peter 5:7 from the Amplified Bible. God cares about you affectionately. He cares about you watchfully. And also, I got to get this in. Please visit my podcast of my radio show that's produced locally in Charlotte, Michigan. Click that RSS link so that you can hear what's going on in the area locally through my teaching. God bless you. I love you. Remember 1 Peter 5:7 from the Amplified Bible. God cares about you affectionately. and God cares about you watchfully.
Method, how God has created you, and many times we are in environments that cannot sustain and cannot validate who we are. And because these are people of experience and these are people that we know and that we respect, sometimes we take their word to heart when it's really not their word at all. They're being used of the adversary to paint another picture of who it is that you are. But I want you to get into the realm of the Spirit and ask God to begin to show you how beautifully and how wonderful you have been created and how much of a value you are. And you cannot base your life on your mistakes. You cannot base your life upon the things that you should have done, that you wanted to do, or that you couldn't do. It's all about the moving. It's all about the present now, where God has given an available grace and a power to overcome so that you can be who it is that God has called you to be. One of the greatest examples I think of opposing conformity is Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. And even though Jesus was volatile in many instances in his ministry, he was nothing like John. We find John in Aenon, beyond Jordan. He's looking like a crazed man. He's looking like, what's the one that says Clarice?
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah. He's looking like Hannibal Lecter. His hair is crazy everywhere. He has on camel's hair. He's eating locusts and wild honey. He's down there in a rage, manic personality, screaming out, "Repent, prepare ye the way of the Lord." Well, all of the prophets in that day are teachers, scribes, Pharisees, and priests. They look nothing like him. They're dressed, their attire, their manner, and their method. And you know what we do? Because of jealousy and because of envy and because of strife and because of competition and our pride, we fight everything new and everything that is not like us. And you know what I want to say? Just because your apostle, your pastor, your teacher, your ministry gift, your business person, just because they have not experienced it and just because they do not ascribe to it, it does not mean that it is right. It does not mean that it is wrong. God has a method and a call for the people that he has called into the kingdom of God. And God wants us to be mature and to respect, to validate, to honor, and to receive of the differentness that he has placed in the body of Christ. But religion and tradition has made us so the same. Turn on the Word Channel. Turn on the Impact. There is not much of a variance between the styles and the methods. I'm saying to myself, if I hear another turn to my neighbor, I'm going to scream. This is an hour where God wants to give us a specific individual anointing that is marketable, for lack of a better word, by the Spirit, where it is visible and it is magnetized to call in the people of differentness. Everybody's the same. They're wearing the same hats. They have on the same kind of dress, the same kind of knits, the same kind of shoes, driving the same car, saying the same kind of thing. The homogeny of what it is that we are experiencing does not give us or God the opportunity to manifest differentness. And so if you don't do that, and if you don't wear that, and if you don't say that, then you couldn't be God. You know, you can wear a tight dress, but you can't wear red lipstick. And you can wear one thing, but you can't wear another. And it's just crazy. And it's filled with cultural stupidity, the things that we ascribe to, and we label it as God. But I'm saying to you that there is a harvest that is coming, and they are different, and they are complex, but God has raised up people that can minister to those individuals because of their differentness and what they have gone through. You know, on Saturday, I oftentimes watch the Westerns. And this particular Saturday, they were reviewing, what's her name, Shelley somebody's Frankenstein. What was her name? No. It's a writer. I forget her name. But anyway, And so the interesting part of Frankenstein that I love is that when he was running from those that were pursuing him, he came upon this man in this hut. But the man was blind and he could play a violin. I love this story. And so he didn't see the deformity of Frankenstein. He didn't see his face. He didn't see how tall he was. He didn't see how deformed he was. And he thought when he was talking to Frankenstein and Frankenstein could not communicate, he said, God has sent you to help me because I'm blind and cannot see. You're deaf and you cannot speak. So Frankenstein did not have language until then.